All the better people's a schedule, probably.
But Lau is nodding vigorously, so. You know. And he's usually, he's usually very encouraging, so. I know we have to be serious. Okay. On Sunday, there was a Yom Iyun in Lezecher Nishmas, Mori Varabi, Rav Lichtenstein, Zatzal. And, this time of the year, where we also celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut and then subsequently Yom Yerushalayim. Actually, his birthday was on Yom Yerushalayim. There's always a time which takes me back to my time in Eretz Yisrael, where I had the schus to be a Talmud of his. And on Yom HaTzma'ut, one of the things that struck me very deeply in my time in Eretz Yisrael was Rav Lichtenstein's practice always to give a shir on Yom HaTzma'ut on Inyan Ezroi. The reason that I found that to be striking is most people really focus on, in a more frontal and direct way, on Yom HaTzma'ut itself. He did that also in the context of Sichot and so on. But the emphasis on Havayis Dabai Varava, even in that context, was something which I think reflected his perspective, and I think a perspective that we should all be committed to, which is the idea that we don't compartmentalize in the world of Torah, and that on the contrary, the deepest and most authentic expressions of Shevach and Hoda'ah and our response to contemporary events or to things that apply in our lifetime also have to have their roots and core in the timeless world of Torah and Halacha. One could have thought that focusing on Inyan Ezroim on Yom HaTzma'ut is kind of a narrowing of the proper focus of the day. And indeed, in the spirit a little bit of Reb Chaim Cohen and Tosis in Ksuvas Daf Kuf Yud, who suggests that there's no obligation of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He was writing in the Middle Ages. In his time, because there are no opportunity to implement Doraisa, the Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz. And as we know, the Ramban, in his commentary in Sefer HaMitzvos, his critique of the Rambam in terms of what the Rambam omitted, strongly disagrees with that perspective and argues that Yishuv Haaretz has nothing to do with the ability to implement Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz. There's a huge debate among the Achronim regarding the Rambam's omission of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and question whether or not he agrees with Reb Chaim Cohen that Yishuv Haaretz should depend on the ability to be Mekayim Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz or not, or there are other reasons for that omission. Maybe it's so central and fundamental that it doesn't even need to be counted. That's, again, a topic in its own right. But my point is that one could look at the argument between the Ramban and Reb Chaim Cohen, in these terms. So there's what is important about life in Eretz Yisrael. Is it merely the ability to implement more mitzvot atlios baretz, or is there something about identifying with the legacy of the Avos and of Klal Yisrael by extension? That's why we have the Kavura Eretz Yisrael, and that's why even before there was any life in Eretz Yisrael, there was so much talk of it in Torah Shebichsav. Eretz Yisrael is a nachla to Klal Yisrael much before Eretz Yisrael Buch Zekes Hi Me'avoseinu, Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yutes. So which is it? Is it really the opportunity to add X amount of more mitzvot atlios ba'aretz, or is there this larger idea? But what I learned from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal was that really implementing or integrating the perspective of Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz into the Ramban's broader idea of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a stira at all. And on the contrary, these are mutually enhancing ideas. And really studying the different dimensions, the different motifs that are conveyed and projected by the different Mitzvah HaTluyos Ba'aretz highlights different aspects of our relationship with Eretz Yisrael itself. And that's why it's important, on the one hand, to mark the day with Shevach V'Hodah and to speak about the impact of the founding of the modern state of Israel and the huge impact that it's had in its time and against its historical context, of the Shoah and other things, and thousands of years of wandering. And as you know, we have the opportunity to assess the decades since then, the impact that it's had in terms of uniting Klal Yisrael and providing, you know, for a flourishing of Jewish life and Jewish learning. But at the same time, that needs to be concretely tied with, you know, the nitty-gritty of Zeroyim, which should be then perceived not merely as nearly nitty-gritty, but as different interlocking and overlapping, you know, motifs in our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. And we should try to project that into life in Medinas Yisrael, Bizmanenu, as well. Really, there's nothing new in all of this. It's the idea of the Rav's idea of being an Isha Halacha, the idea that the Halacha is not a dry system of obligations, performances, but that each category of the Halacha represents a rich enhancement of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and our understanding of what it means to be an Oved Hashem. So in that context, every year, on Yom HaTzma'ut, in keeping with that tradition, I always like to focus on a Zeroyim issue and topic, but also to try to connect it, you know, to the importance and significance of the day. Just to highlight the background a little bit, I gave a shiur a couple of days ago on the role of Omer and Shtei Lechem, and I quoted then the Mishnah in Masachet Kelim. The Mishnah says in Kelim that Eser Kedushos Heim, that there are 10 Kedushos, and Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Heim B'Kol HaAratzos. Eretz Yisrael is the most sanctified of all of them. But the language of the and the formulation of the Mishnah is worth noting, and some of the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos did note it. The Mishnah says that Eser Kedushos Heim Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes B'Kol HaAratzos. Umahi kedushasa shemivin mimena haomer v'habikurim u'shtei alechem mashein mivin kein mikol haaratzos. What's significant about that formulation is if you look at it, I was rushing because I got into some traffic, so I didn't bring the Mishnah and Kalim. But if you look at the continuation from there and the listing of the 10 kedushos, two things stand out from a literary point of view. One is that, or from a mathematical point of view, is the first one. If you really count the Eser Kedushos, you'll see that there are not 10, but 11. And the Mefarshim on the Mishnah already, the Bartanura and the Tosis Yantav, they noticed this. And some of them suggested either, you know, to change the Girsa so that we can, you know, count them in such a way that it really does come out to 10. The takeaway, according to some of the Mefarshim, including the Bartanura, thank you, is, oh wow, so you just say the word and things appear. So I'm not surprised, but always impressed. So it's Perek Aleph Mishnah, Mishnah Vav. Second. So we're told, Eser Kedushos, Hei Meretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol HaRatzos, so Mai Kedushos, Shem Mevin Mimena HaOmer HaBikurim U'Shtei Alechem, Mashein Mevin Kein Mikol HaRatzos. So then we would have expected in the continuation, number one, that the numbers work out, and number two, that the concentric circles that are, you know, that are basically enumerating more and more intense levels of Kedusha, that they be somewhat parallel to what we just read. Instead, it's Ayaros HaMukafas Choma Mikudashos Mimena, Shemeshalchem Bitochen Esamitzorayim, Umesavim Letocha Meis Archiyotsu Yetze Ein Machzirunasa. Lifanim Minachoma Mikudash Mehem, Shochem Sham Kodshim Kalim Maiser Sheni. Harabais Mikudash Mimenu, Shein Zavim Vizavos, Nidos Vyoldos, Nichnosim Lesham. Basically, if you count them up, number one, you end up with 11. That's problem number one. And number two is, instead of this positive and expansive perspective, which we find with regard to Eretz Yisrael, Mahi Kedushasa, first of all, the question itself, Shemivin Mimena HaOmer HaBikurim, what you can do, what you do from this place. Instead, what we have is, we don't have anything comparable to Mahi Kedushasa on each level, only on the first level. And we don't have a positive, we have restrictive. Each venue is more and more restrictive as reflected by who can be there, what can happen there, etc. So the question is, why this different treatment of Eretz Yisrael and the concentric circle? So some of the Mefarshim already suggest that the Eser Kedushos should be understood in the following. Eser Kedushos Hain, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikola Ratzos Umahi Kedushasa, is meant to tell you that the framework for the Eser Kedushos is Eretz Yisrael. It's not one of the ten. You first have to realize that there's a qualitative difference between Eretz Yisrael. There can't be levels of Kedusha outside of Eretz Yisrael. You need the concept of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael for the rest, right, to make sense in context. And therefore, it's not a simple hierarchical list or quantitative hierarchy. And for that same reason, not only is there one which then includes ten, but also that, they don't explain this, I'm explaining this, that's why you get Umahi Kedushasa, meaning why is Eretz Yisrael so unique that not only is it a level of Kedusha that is different from all other Ratzos, but it is the framework for the very concept of Kedushas Makom, including the concentric, overlapping, more intense levels, the ten that are about to come. The answer is, it's a qualitatively different kind of Kedusha. The others are all about a more and more and more intense Kedusha, which limits certain either mitzvos or the presence of, because of Tumah, of certain populations. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, its Kedushas manifest, A, only in a positive way, Shemevin Mimeno Ha'omar Babikur Mishtei Alachem, Mash'ei Mevin B'kol HaRatzos. Moreover, if we analyze carefully, Omer Bikurim and Shtei Alechem, what we would find is that there is a lot of overlap, a lot of common denominator between those three. This is a little bit of overlapping what I spoke about on Sunday, but I didn't get a chance to speak about this part of it. But in particular, notwithstanding or because of the overlapping elements that Bikurim, Shtei Alechem, and Omer have, what's even more unique is the differences despite the commonality, which highlight the range of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's what the Mishnah in its literary formulation is telling us. Mahi Kedushasa, if you really want to know why this is the framework for the others, and you want to understand what's unique about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the then successive more intense venues, the answer is the range of types of motifs that Eretz Yisrael connects to. So it's in the spirit of that background. I'm not going to speak about Omer and Shtei Alechem because I spoke a little bit about that last time, but I think the differences between Omer and Shtei Alechem and Bikurim fit into this picture. What I would like to speak about in the little time that I have is Parshas HaShavua. We always do Parshas HaShavua on Thursday, right? But Parshas HaShavua isn't just Parshas HaShavua. It's also connected to Omer and Shtei Alechem. This week's Parshas, Parshas Kedoshim. And we find a very remarkable, structure in the beginning of Kedoshim, right? Everybody heard the Kriyas HaTorah this morning, right? Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber al Kol Adatz Bnei Yisrael, V'amarta Lehem, Kedoshim to you. We know that that's a drum roll. That's a very big statement, right? Chazal say, Rashi quotes it, that this Parsha is a Parsha of Gufei Torah. Okay, so we should really be scouring this parsha with a magnifying glass, right? The order, the structure, what's here, what's not there. One view in Chazal is that Parshas Kedoshim is a parallel to the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, it's also a challenge, and some of the Midrashim go ahead and the Mefarshim argue, you know, what are the parallels, you know, between them. Okay, why am I telling you all this? What does that have to do with Mizraim? Ishimo v'aviv tiro v'shabsosai tishmoru. Okay, the source of authority. Right, Hilchos Mamrim, you know, parental model, Shabsosai Tishmoru, the covenant between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, right? The a Mumer Lechalas Shabbos, a Mumer Lechol Torah Kula, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, as if to accent, this is critical. Al Tifnu El Alilim Velokei Masechal Osasu Lokem, on the negative side, right? Avodah Zarah, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Fascinating, the parsha of Pigol, but basically, not just Pigol, but the idea of when you have a cultic rite, you have a sacrificial rite, and a whole world of Avodas Hashem, right? How much of it requires of you to be a follower and to work within that framework, as opposed to even idealistically and sincerely right, adding an improper nofech mishalcha, the idea of pigol, right? Biyom zivchachem yachel, imi macharas, hanosar, yom ha-shlishi ba'esi saref, im he'achol ye'achel, ba'yom ha-shlishi pigol hu, very strong language, lo ye'ratzeh, oklav avono yisa. This is really, pigol, as the Mepharshim note, isn't just a, you know, a technical din in Kodshim. It's in the parsha of Kodshim Kalim, where you have the greatest flexibility, and yet, even there, right, you have to be very careful about the concept of the framework, the yesod, let's say, of Avodas Hashem. Very critical parsha. And then, and this is what I'm interested in for now, ubekutruchem is kitzir artzachem, lo sechalep asad chalik tzor, veleket kitzir chalot telaket. This is, of course, the parsha of Peah and Leket and Shikcha. The karmachalot olel, peret karmachalot telaket, leoni velager tazov osam, ani Hashem alokeichem. Again, followed by Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and like the others, the only one that doesn't have Ani Hashem Elokeichem so far is Pigul. That's we're not going to discuss that. And then Lo Tignovu, Lo Techachashu. Somehow this leads into the question of, you know, very basic question in society respecting boundaries when it comes to Bailus and so on. Velo Tishakru Ish Bamito, Lo Tishavu Bishmila Shaker, Vichilat Hashem Elokecha Ani Hashem, Lo Sashok, and so on. And then it continues the rest of the parsha. What is Peah doing with an Ani Hashem Elokeichem in Gufei Torah that are comparable or parallel to the Aseres Hadibros right after Pigul of Arizara, Shabbos, Kibud Aveim, and the broader charge of Kedoshim Tiyu? That's question number one. What's it doing here and in this context? In parallel, we find in Parshas Emor, it's already late, then in the parsha of the Moadim, which I referred to before, which speak about Omer and Shteilechem, both of which are, together with Bikurim, the ones that embody the concept of Eser Kedushas, Mahi Kedushasa, Shemivin Mimena Omer Shteilechem Ubikurim. So in the parsha, which begins with Omer, and which concludes with Shteilechem, and which is one integrated parsha, and which I suggested elsewhere, is a reflection of kind of a Kedushas Hazman. These korbanos represent the mavar, the transition from Klal Yisrael's Yitzias Mitzrayim to its Maimon Har Sinai, its development as a nation, which we replay every year. So fascinatingly, in the very last pasuk of this little parsha, right after speaking about Omer and Shteilechem, Kross and Betzam Ayom Hazeh, we finally get to the Kedushas Hayom of Shavuos, Mikra Kodesh Yalachem, Komalach HaSavod Elosas, Chukas Olam, Mekom HaShoseichem, Medorosechem. And then we have, Ubekutrechem, Es Ketzir Arzachem, Lo Sechale Pa'as Sadcha Bekutrecha, Velekat Ketzir Chalot Telakeit, Le'ani Velager Tazov Osam, Ani, once again, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, again, Tazov Osam. The Pesukim are slightly different, but all the Mepharshim are struggling to figure out why we just had this in Parshas Kedoshim and what is it doing here, connected with Omer and Shteilechem, and in this Parsha, why is it here? Why is it here, and why is it here again, and why is it here so soon? And the Mepharshim say different things. There's a debate among the Mepharshim whether or not this Ubekutzuchem is Ketzir Artzuchem is more connected to the Omer, which also begins with the words that underscore Ketzira. Uketzartem v'amartalem kisavo la'aretz asher nino sein lachem uketzartem etz Ketzira v'adesem etz omer reishis Ketzirchem el ha-kohen. So is this referring back to that? That's the view of the Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam, and others. It's all connected to mimachas ha-pesach lakar krovas ha-omer. Or is it connected to dafka to the Shteilechem, which is the view of the Ramban, shelo titcha mitzvahi es alav in ha'ela. Somehow you might think that the mitzvah of Shteilechem somehow allows you to ignore the mitzvah of Peah and Leket and Shikcha. And the question is, why? Is it connected to which of these two or to both? And is it just, you know, to be megala milsa that you have to be makbin on this mitzvah even in this context? Or is there some deeper connection, which is implied by some of the Mepharshim? So what I'd like to suggest is that if we take a step back, again, we don't have time to do this properly, obviously, and we examine just some of the unique facets of the mitzvah of Peah, then we might understand better what it's doing in these two critical contexts, and, you know, why pay as such a linchpin in the world of Zroi. Number one, as the Mefarshim note already in Parshas Kedoshim, the language of the Torah is very challenging. It goes back and forth between Lashon Yachid and Lashon Rabbim. The Torah tells us, and the same is true in Parshas Emor, although again there are some slight differences. We're told, right, Upekutzruchem es Kitzir Artzachem, which is obviously Lashon Rabbim, and then it switches, Lo Techale Pa'asadcha Liktor Veleket Kitzircha Lo Selake, which obviously is Lashon Yachid. And the question is, what is that all about? Is that important? Secondly, it should be noted, how do we know that pay is limited to Eretz Yisrael? So some of the Mefarshim say, because we have a Mishnah in Masechet Kedushin that says that any mitzvah which is tlius ba'aretz is limited to Eretz Yisrael, right? And that's how we know that many of the mitzvahs, trumas and maestras and so on, there are some exceptions. There are some mitzvos where the Torah explicitly feels the need to emphasize that they are Eretz Yisrael. For example, the Gemara in Bava Basra and in Chulin, you know, looks for a pasuk, finds a pasuk for Bikurim. Omer and Shtei Alechem, it seems like, you know, we need psukim to establish that they're in Eretz Yisrael. In Omer and Shtei Alechem case, that's obvious because they're not mitzvos. Right, we're talking about the world of korbanos and menachos, and you can bring menachos from all different. That's what the Mishnah tells us in menachos. The exception is the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. So that you need psukim there is understandable. In the case of Shtei Alechem, it's mimosh vaseichem. In the case of Omer, I indicated the other day, whoever happened to be there, that there are the Gemara seems to say kisavou is the makar. The Rambam quotes that once in Pirshim Mishnayis, but in Yad HaChazaka and elsewhere in Pirshim Mishnayis, he quotes a different psukim. He has to struggle with Omer. Bikurim, which is also mentioned in the Mishnah, interestingly, according to the Gemara in Chulin and Bava Basra, Pe'alef has its own makar. And the Bali Tosas ask, why do we need a makar for Bikurim? It's a Chovas HaKarka, and the Mishnah says that any Chovas HaKarka is limited to Eretz Yisrael. And the Bali Tosas give two answers. One is that you might have thought, since it's connected in the psukim to Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalei V'Imo, that we should treat it as a Chovas HaGavra, or that even as a Chovas Karka, it operates differently. It's not the typical Mitzvah Satlius part. So it should explain why the Groz Girsa, notwithstanding, it's included in the Mishnah and Kalim. Like, why is Bikurim there and not Trumas and Maestras? Something that the Groz addresses and the Rav Zatzal used to speak about a lot. So the reason I'm telling you all this is as background, is it's interesting that Dafka Peya seems also, according to the Rishalmi, in the end of the second parak of Peya, and the Rambam quotes this in Parak Aleph Halacha Yadalid of Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, where he speaks about Inyane Peya, seems to require its own makar, and it's again a makar connected to Kitzir Artzachem. Kitzir Artzachem, and the Achronim are bothered. Why do we need this makar in the Yerushalmi and the Rambam? Why not simply say it's a Chovas HaKarka? Oh, so why do we need this separate makar, and why is it Ktsir Artzachem? Which is a little bit similar, actually, to the Pasuk of Omer. Oh. Next. Peya is unique in certain respects. Normally, when it comes to Matnas Aniyim, there is a concept of Tovas Hanah, which means that the Bailim has the ability to decide which Ani is going to give it to. The Gemara says in Chulin, based on, again, its analysis of the Psukim, and this is the Psak of the Rambam and so on as well, that when it comes to Peya, like a Chikho Peya, there is no din of Tovas Hanah. Since the Torah says tazovo sam, it doesn't say titain lahem. There's no din of nesina. There's a din of when you get to that part, tazovo sam. Right? The ani, you know, has the right to take it. There's even a discussion, you know, based on reading certain makoros. Milchas Chinuch is very troubled by this. That maybe the ani can even grab bal korcha from sofa sadeh. one thing to say that there's no tovas hana, and there's no either chovas nesina or ability to do nesina. It's quite another thing to say that he can grab bal korcha, the bailus of the bailin. Okay. So that's something to think about, but that is certainly something that is unique and that flows from Tazo. The whole concept of bailus, when it comes to peya, seems to be different than other dinim, including other dinei zroim. Gemara says in Bava Kama, Dav Chav Ches, and same Gemara appears in Temura, elsewhere, in Chulin, the Gemara says that even though the rule is that hefker is patur mipeya, however, if a person himself is mafker, so in other words, if somebody was mafker his sadat at a point where it was relevant to the chiyuv of peya, so if you were zoche in that sadat, you would not be obligated, you know, to be mafresh leket shikha upeya. Hefker, in other words, is mufka from the din of peya. However, the Gemara says that since the Torah uses the expression tazov twice, tazov yaseira, so if you were mafker your own kerem, or your own sadeh, and then you were mashkin baboker, and you thought better of it, and you were zoche in it, so when it came to chiyuv, maisros, you would be pater. But when it comes to peya, you'd be chayiv. Tazov yaseira, amarachman. And of course, the mefarshim alatar, the rishonim, and then the later mefarshim, really have to struggle to explain this, because mimanavshak. From the perspective of maisros, right, your previous hefker, and in terms of what we know hefker to be, there is a chalos hefker. So if it works for maisros, why doesn't it work for peya? And what does this have to do with tazov more specifically? So let's think about that just for a moment. We'll leave that for a moment. The mitzvah of peya, ideally, and in some respects legally also, applies to sof hasadeh. In sharp contrast to things like trumos and maisros, which are racious tvuaska. Typically, we understand the notion of racious tvuaska when it comes to afroshes, trumos, and maisros. It fits in very well on two levels. Number one, in making a statement about the priority of being oved Hashem to your, you know, personal, even in the context, especially in the context of your personally, you know, personal tvua, your personal pleasure, your personal ownership. Moreover, there's a concept of being mafrish, keneged, or on. There's a chalos afrasha, right, on that which you keep for yourself, and that is accomplished by reishis tuascha. When it comes to peya, dafka sof hasadeh is the category of peya. And the question is, why? Moreover, as the Torah Zroim points out, the whole category of peya is one which is focused not on the tvua or the ilanos of the sadeh, but on the sadeh itself. The category, ready from the psukim, is not tvua zarecha, but it's sadeh. To such an extent that even though lichatchila one should separate peya from the sadeh, from the kama, let's say from the tvua, and peya from the ilanos, the eitzim, in different fashion. You should be mafer separately, the different meaning. Nonetheless, what triggers peya, this is another anomaly, is the first act of katsira. Uketzartem es haketzira. And that katsira, even if it takes place in tevua, is already mechayiv peya for the eitzim, not just for the tevua. So that even though in the hafrasha there's a difference between ilanos and tevua, when it comes to the mechayiv, it's all one din in sadeh. And as the Torah Zroim goes on to point out, if you were to be, on a drabana level, for example, if you have shiur, we say peya is something which is ein lahem shiur. But midrabanan, we say, you know, echa mishishi. So let's say you were short of the amount. So when it came to trumos and maestros in parallel, for example, what you'd say is that, okay, so corresponding to the amount that you are mafrish, that is a proper hafrasha, and, you know, corresponding, and, you know, you should make up the rest. But when it comes to peya, it's all or nothing. You look at the totality of the Sadeh. If you were to give, you know, Echad Mishishim, you know, only of a third or a half or two-thirds, etc., you wouldn't say, okay, so you fulfill the mitzvah with respect to two-thirds of the Sadeh. The Sadeh is an integrated, full unit. And once again, the question is, what does that imply? The notion that Leket Shikcho Peah are Pturim Mina Maisros, according to the Yerushalmi, seems to be based on the separate Zeres HaKasuv, not the concept of Hefker being Pater Mina Maisros. Uba Levi Imach, then whenever there's an equate, whenever the Levi, like a Levi Ani, would have equal rights in the Tvua or in the Sada, that doesn't constitute a basis for a Chiyuv Maisros. And again, there's a lot of literature trying to explain why do we need two dinim of hefker, a regular din of hefker and a din, seemingly, peah, is chovas maiser ani, chovas aniyim, and that should be the equivalent of hefker. And there are many more indications. I'm just going to give you one more, since I have to bring this to a conclusion, then I'll tell you what I want to say. The Chevra Chinuch is mechadesh, that there's no chiyuv peah bizman hazeh, Doraisa, nor was there Bizman Ezra, even though he, like the Rambam, adopts the view of Kedusha Shnia, Kedusha L'Shaita, V'Kedusha L'Yasid Lavo, meaning Kedusha Sa'aretz at the time of Ezra was Doraisa. Nonetheless, as we know, when it came to Chala, because of the fact that there was not Bias Kulchem, there wasn't the presence of Rov Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, so Chala is only Midrabanan. The Rambam extended this in the end of the first parak of Hilchos Trumos also to Trumos, and the Rambam says maybe even Maisros. So it's Yesh Omrim Maisros, definitely Trumos, and based on Chala. The Ravid disagrees. And Bias Kolchem is lacking, and therefore even though Kedusha Sa'aretz technically is Daraisa, these Chiyuvim are only Drabban. The Chinuch, when he talks about Peah, says, Chinuch says that what applies, according to the Rambam, in Trumas, the Rambam has a comment in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudalid, of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, that Chiyuv Peah, like Trumos and Maisros, requires Eretz Yisrael. So the Chinuch understood it to mean that just as Bias Kolchem is a limit in Chala, not only in Chala, but in Trumas and Maisros, according to the Rambam, Hu Adin Peah. But it's not true for other things, not for Kilayim, and not for other matanos, etc. And the Minchas Chinuch Alatar says, I don't think that's correct. There's no reason, there's no pasuk in the Torah that implies that. There's no shame truma or chala in peah. That extension of the Rambam's Chiddush doesn't make any sense. Oh. So we have a bunch of anomalies. What I'd like to suggest is as follows. What's unique about peah, and in this sense it overlaps and intersects Shvius to its large extent, but it's a little bit of a different expression of it, is that Peah is not merely, many of the Mepharshim, the Chinuch, and many of the Mepharshim Ala Torah, suggest that Peah, Leket, Shikcha, it's a social justice expression of, you know, you own things, but you can't be selfish, you have to include the well-being of the Ani in your own personal successes. This is part either it's a homage to the Rabbona Sholem or it's a homage to social justice as a linchpin in Yadus, all of which of course is true. And that's what Peah is, and that's why it's prominent in Kedoshim. And Emor once wanted to suggest that in the context of Emor, maybe it's, if there really is a Kedushas Hazman created by the Korban, Shtei Alechem, all the way to the end of the Omer, so like the Rambam says in Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov, that always has to have a social justice expression, right? The Rambam talks about aniyim umlalim, you know, as a can't be, you know, kreso alone that benefits from Simchas Yom Tov. We have to have a spiritual reckoning as well. And in this period, it's expressed through pay. But I think it's much more than that. I think the idea is, from the Lashon Rabim to the Yachid, is not merely, you know, that as an individual you also have to express a chesed and rachmanus and imitatio dei, like the Sfarno says in this context, but that rather like Shvius, but with a slightly different expression, what Peah represents is that Klal Yisrael believes in individual ownership, but with an overlaying layer of Klal Yisrael's collective ownership. We have in the Shemitah, where it's expressed a whole year, where individual ownership is suppressed, and we have it in Peah in a maybe even more dramatic way, because your individual ownership is not suppressed, but there is, at the same time that you express your individual ownership, there is this element of bailus haklal, which is targeted to aniyim. And I think that's why the Torah begins with Artzachem and Lashon Rabim. This is the Lashon Rabim imposition, or expression better, in your bailus shel yechidim. And if that's the case, then we can appreciate a lot of the anomalies that we mentioned before. Number one, why is it b'sof ha-sadeh, not b'tchilas ha-sadeh? And why is it something, you know, which requires, according to the Chinuch at least, bias kulchem? Moreover, why isn't there a din of tovas hana? It's your money, it's your crops, as well as many of the other anomalies as well. Why do we need a special zeres hakasuv, according to the Yerushalmi and the Rambam, of kitzirchem, right, which implies that dafke Eretz Yisrael, where there's some sort of notion of collective ownership. I think all of these, and some of the other ones I mentioned before, flow very naturally from this idea. And that is that the idea in Peah is that even as you express, not that you suppress, like Shemitah, your individual ownership for the sake of revisiting every 7 years the ownership of the tzibur and the klal, but even as you express your individual ownership, your capitalistic, let's say, you know, right to your own karka, after all, Eretz Yisrael was divided in that way, even as you do that, it doesn't negate that there's another level in Eretz Yisrael of bailus haklal. The bailus haprat is expressed also by acknowledging and outletting, manifesting that bailus haklal. And therefore, it's b'sof ha-sadeh, dafka. It's not a matir. There's no tevel in Peah, but it is an expression of that extra dimension. And for that reason, maybe according to the Chinuch, even without psukim, there's dafka a requirement of bias kulchem, because it's all about the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. Moreover, for this reason, there's no din of tovas hana, because the point is that tazov, there's an element that is a natural limit on your bailus. The Gemara says, and the Rambam paskins, that if you can't find aniyim, you get to reclaim, it doesn't become hefker, you get to reclaim this particular tevua, or ilanos, because it's not a contradiction to your bailus, it's a limitation, a natural limitation on your bailus, when there are aniyim for whom the collective ownership of all Klal Yisrael, of all Eretz Yisrael, becomes significant. When the Rambam compared Peah to Trumas and Maisros, seemingly superfluously, which is where the Chinuch got his chiddush from, some of the Nosa Kalim suggests it means something else, and that is, this is the Rambam's way of telling you, you have to wait the 14 years of Chalukah and Yerusha before Peah begins, just like Trumos and Maisros, unlike Chala. Why? Because it's an expression of the continued collectivity bailus of Klal Yisrael, dafka, once there is individual ownership. And maybe for this reason, it's also the makor is Uketarta Mesaktsira, and it's in the Parsha of Ketsira, because we know from Shemitah, where there's an Itzer of Ketsira Ubetsira, that the Iser Ketsira and Betsira in Shemitah is the idea, Ha'aretz Tishmetenu Netashta, that you have to behave in the land, right? Not in a manner that expresses only your personal bailus. And Derech HaKotzrim and Derech HaBotzrim is that it's yours to cut down and yours to harvest. So I think it's symbolic. The Gemara says, you know, that the Mishnah says that, you know, Peah Ein Laim Shi'or. The Yerushalmi says, so does that mean you can make your entire Sadeh Peah? So the Yerushalmi says, but we know it's not true, because you need to have an initial Ketsira in order to trigger the Chiyuv of Peah on the rest. But the Sugya in the Darib seems to think that you can make the whole Sadeh Peah. What's going on? So the Yerushalmi says, no, the Ketsira of Peah is like Meruach in Maestros. But I think the idea is, it's not just the Tchilas Achiyuv. It's very particularly the Tchilas Achiyuv, because it's Derech HaKotzrim and Derech Dafka, when you start to express your personal bailus, which is not contradicted, Ki Huzeh, there's no Tovas Hanoah, but in the Sof HaSadeh, when there's Bias Kulchem, then you have to express also that side by side, or overlapping that, is the bailus of Klal Yisrael. So if this is the case, we can understand why it's in Parshas Kedoshim and again in Emor. It's in Emor because the whole point is the transition of Klal Yisrael from individuals to an Am in two different ways. In the Korban HaOmer Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Maimed Har Sinai Matan Torah of Shtei Alechem. And then we're told, yeah, Ubekutzrechem is Ketzir Artzechem. We express particularly Peah. It's also a form of Tzedek and Tzedakah. But this particular one, and that's why the Dinim of Hefker are different, because Tazov Yisera, it's precisely all about the overlaying and the integration of personal ownership, and yet, at the same time, the collective ownership idea. If this is the case, then we can appreciate that in Parsis Kedoshim, this is one of Gufei Torah. We begin with Kedoshim Tiyu, and then we move to, you know, the sources of authority, and Shabbos, and Pigol, in terms of Avodas Hashem, and then it's appropriate, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, to speak about Peah as well. So just to conclude, I know I'm over time, I sometimes do that, but I think next year I'm going to begin at 10:15, so I'm going to take 30 more seconds. And that is that, you know, one of the special things about Yom HaAtzma'ut is, and you know, Medinas Yisrael, and the historical, you know, reality of the time, and also the development since, has been that whatever divides Jews, and sometimes this also divides Jews, you know, in petty ways, but the single most unifying element of our lives is the dedication of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, Bizmaneinu. And, you know, we see it in political campaigns, and we see it in times of crises. Sadly, it takes, you know, crises, you know, to accentuate that. But it really is Zayom. You know, it's a special day. It's Nagila v'Nismachavo, not only for, you know, the Hakaras HaTov of, you know, lives that were saved and a flourishing Jewish life, you know, that has really developed, but for all the, you know, mitzvos atlius va'aretz that have become accessible, not merely as technical opportunities to pad our permanent record, but more importantly, for us to accentuate the different motifs of Eretz Yisrael, which makes it one of the Eser Kedushos, which makes it the framework for all the Eser Kedushos that follow. And nothing is more important than this notion that even as we live as individuals, that notion of collectivity in our lives, reflected by Peah, is something which is indispensable as well. That's what the Sifrei probably really means in Parshas Eked, that, you know, there's one aspect of Shmiras HaMitzvos, which is always enhanced, even if it's Hanachas Tefillin and other Chovas HaGuf, when it's done in Eretz Yisrael, which is the place of the Tzibor, it's a different experience. So I wish you all a Yom Ha'atzma'ut Sameach, and we should continue to appreciate and to develop stronger relationships with all of these motifs. Thank you.
Yeah. So everyone knows that next year we were